superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to the Jets, Le'Veon Bell.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You thought the Steelers was a tough spot for you?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
There's a silver lining. You may have a new coach before the end of the season.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Pro Football Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk. NBA Championship head coach Paul Westhead. 1988 World Series MVP Oral Hershiser. Host of America's Funniest Home Videos. Alfonso Ribeiro, 10-year NFL veteran Mark Sanchez, and now it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I am your humble host, sitting here in Los Angeles, California, getting set for a five-wide, five-guest, three-hour frolic here on Peacock, as well as terrestrial and satellite radio. We say a good Thursday morning to you, Chris Brockman, to you, Mike Delty.
Hey, Rich.
Good to see you guys over there.
Rich, what's happening, man?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad we just said to you when you were finished with your yawn. I did catch that. Are you
I'm
good?
Sorry, we're, oh, no,
wow, Mike.
It's all good. It's all good.
It was a rough night last night.
What happened?
No, I didn't sleep well.
Oh, no.
Same. I had some bad dreams.
Really?
Yeah, I had some crazy dreams.
Did you wake up and find out?
Yeah.
I woke up.
I was on my boat sinking. It was
oh,
like,
my God.
Yeah,
I had some really?
Crazy, yeah.
Your boat sinking?
I had some nightmares. Yeah. I didn't wake up.
I guess I didn't expect to start this way.
I'm sorry.
But not so good. Don't know. I'm the one who brought up the fact that I caught you in mid-yawn before I threw it over to you.
I had
you.
A rough.
No, has your boat been named yet?
No name.
Okay,
no name.
Great.
No name.
Great. You're kind of like, you know what you should do it? You should do what the Washington football team is. Just call it Boat.
Boat.
The Boat.
That's actually a great idea.
Mike Del Tufo Boat.
Mike's Floating Boat.
I should just name it Boat.
You just name it Boat.
That's a great idea.
Until you find a name to your liking.
Or that's to be it. Determined.
That's it. I'm going to name it Boat.
It's like how parents just call it, like if they have a kid and they don't have a name yet, just call it Baby.
Baby.
Baby, yeah.
That's it. Rich, I'm stealing that idea and you're getting credit. I'm going to put R.E.
Thank you for the credit.
Boat. I'll
you know,
give you
Mike,
R.E.
Mike, it's my gift to you.
Yeah. Thank you, Rich.
I don't think he wants credit. He just wants a ride.
I literally got out of bed. I was like scared.
I had a nightmare too last night.
Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. What's going on?
I had a nightmare too. It was awful.
What's up?
I had this terrible dream that the Lakers won the NBA championship, and I was stuck in the middle of a parade somewhere.
Hold on a second. I had a nightmare that my favorite football team is 0-5, and their star franchise future quarterback is injured, and the best offensive player around him and best defensive player around him is gone. Oh, wait a minute.
Sorry, Rich Eisen.
It's called October 15th, 2020. That's what it's called.
You know what I always say, though, Rich? Nightmares are dreams, too. So,
okay.
You know.
There you go. Something I won't pass along to my three small children.
Don't.
So, all right. Three choices for Le'Veon Bell, according to my buddy Adam Schefter. Schefty tweeting out today that Le'Veon Bell has whittled down his choices to three.
Whittled.
And fascinatingly enough, here's where I'm Jeremy Fowler tweeting out Steelers reunion unlikely at this point. I will tell you what, every Steeler fan I know would absolutely lose their collective you know what if they signed Le'Veon Bell. I couldn't even imagine what I mean at any rate. The next three teams that are on Le'Veon's radar screen. Fascinating enough, next three opponents for the New York Jets.
Interesting.
Dolphins. Interesting. Chiefs. Bills. Sean McDermott confirmed it today on behalf of all Devin Singletary fantasy football owners. Come on. Also, by the way, on behalf of all Miles Gaskins fantasy football owners.
Come on.
What are you doing? Although I'll tell you this, you know, anybody that's out there and say, why in the world wouldn't he choose the Chiefs? Why don't you just go ahead and choose the Kansas City Chiefs?
Makes sense, right?
Well, I mean, one of the reasons why you might not is Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be there for a very, very long time. You want to be a
different players.
No, I know that, but you want to be a bell cow. You want to be the guy that you used to be. If that's the only manner in which you're comfortable being a professional football player, know, and Devin Singletary obviously is sitting there in Buffalo, but they didn't use a first round selection on him just fresh off of 2020. And you want to face the Jets twice a year, and you don't want to pay state taxes, and you want to be part of a team that's got a dynamic quarterback that's coming, and you want to be part of a team that's winning right now, and you want to be part of a team with a damn good head football coach that might be, again, just might be similar to the one that you used to play for, and also somebody who you, I'm sure, emulated in your conference as well, straight from the Belichick family tree, Brian Flores. Dolphins are a pretty enticing spot for Le'Veon Bell, I would say.
You just described the Chiefs right now.
Well, I mean, describe the Chiefs as well, and Andy Reid, as well as Eric Bieniemy, as well as Patrick Mahomes, as well as you can win a championship, as well as this team might be facing the Steelers down the road. And that, I'm just trying to talk up the third team in that I'm sure many people will be like, what is this team not like the other? Yeah. You know, where the Bills are on the on the rise, mm-hmm. and is a team that, even coming off of that Tuesday night performance, I still say when they play each other, Bills and Chiefs this weekend, that will give an indication as to whether the Bills can throw their hat in the ring in the AFC. And we're all talking about Josh Allen being an MVP, and obviously the Chiefs are the Chiefs. I'm just throwing out there for anybody who might see the Dolphins on that list and saying, why would he consider them? Why would he go there? It's very enticing. Also, didn't he, if I'm not mistaken, isn't South Florida, South Beach, where he spent his sabbatical?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's just another reason why I'm sure it's attractive to Le'Veon Bell. But him on the Chiefs would be a conundrum for the rest of the conference.
Wow.
As we're assuming that the Le'Veon Bell of 2017 would show up here in 2020. And you might say, well, how would that happen when it's been 3 years since we've seen the Le'Veon Bell of 2017? Well, the Cam Newton of 2015 showed up in New England in 2020 with a chip on his shoulder.
Did Doc Brown get the time machine working? You know, these guys.
I'll tell you what, man, is, you know, Odell Beckham and Josh Norman are back in the mix right now. Maybe we did hit 1.21 gigawatts. Maybe we have done that. Well done, Mark.
Very nice.
Well, you're on today, buddy. You may be tired, but you're on.
Very well done. The Dodgers, I guess, got in the DeLorean and hit the buttons for last week.
Jeez.
That was amazing.
Welcome to the party, pal.
I've never said, I said to my youngest, who was kind of watching it, I'm like, we have never seen, human beings have never seen 11-0 after one in the playoffs. That's never happened.
Never seen 11 runs.
I know, ever.
Ever.
But we've never seen 11-0 after one inning of play.
Jeez.
You know, how about that one? Braves with no runs, top of the first. Dodgers, you know. Yeah. Well, Dodgers, here we're starting. It's 11-0. Atlanta coming to bat.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
It was at that point I took the dog for a walk at that point.
I mean, seriously, the Braves go out and say, let's see if we can go 3-0. And then, hold on a minute, 32 minutes, 14 batters, 11 runs later, go back to the dugout and saying, which position player might pitch today? That's the way game three went.
I don't even think Muncy's ball has landed yet from the first inning.
5 home runs in the first 3 innings. That was quite a way for them to start. And hey, let's give the credit where it might be due here, Christopher. On yesterday's show, you used a little bit of real estate saying, what was A-Rod and Frank Thomas thinking on the set of Fox? After the Dodgers almost came back from a 7-0 deficit in game 2 with a big 9th inning. And you're like, what were those guys thinking when they said this could be the start of something, that they could take this positive?
Yeah. The Dodgers have all the momentum going into game 3.
Yep.
They're down 2-0. Well, they were right.
Yep. Yep. with an 11-run first, 15-3 final.
Two-point conversion, two touchdowns.
That was a two-possession game. It was a two-possession game after one.
That's right. Yep. That inning was so long. I'm watching the game, and I had to, like, stop a few times and go, wait a minute, are we still in the first? Like, now, did I miss something?
I think Brian Snitker, the Braves manager, is using a little bit of the, I guess, A-Rod Frank Thomas mindset, saying that they're well-positioned moving forward because they're up 2-1. That's obvious.
Right.
And they didn't use any of their top relievers yesterday. Yeah. They're all rested. All those guys are all rested for game four, in which they put a 22-year-old youngster, Bryce Wilson, out there. And this is how young Bryce is. His first name is spelled with an S. That's how young it is. Bryce, B-R-Y-S-E, Wilson,
okay,
who his 7 career starts, period, going against Clayton Kershaw, going on his 28th career postseason start tonight.
But it's postseason Kershaw, so...
Postseason Kershaw in 2020 is 2-0. Postseason Kershaw in 2020 is 2-0. So let's live in the here and now. And in the here and now, you've got yourself some experience. And you've got yourself an NLCS tonight. And the ALCS last night...
Still alive.
Yeah, still alive.
Still alive.
The Astros have taken 3 Rays shots, and they're still alive. So there's a game 5 tonight.
Don't want to get stung by a Ray.
Final score, 4-3.
Nice.
Altuve with the dinger. Greinke got it. Got enough innings out
there.
Had
some jams too. He got out of that bases loaded jam.
George Springer, Mr. October. That's the Astros recipe for success. George Springer playing in October. Altuve getting a home run. This guy Rosarena. Can somebody get him out?
For real.
Holy crap. Well, anyway, that's your situation going into game 5 of that series. In game 4 tonight with the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw versus Bryce Wilson, our first guest in a 3-wide third hour. 3 guests again, just like yesterday. We're just going to have a fun frolic. Oral Hershiser.
All right.
Will join us. He's the broadcaster right now, the Los Angeles Dodgers. We all know was the Cy Young Award winner of that last Dodgers championship team of 1988. And while we're hitting the way back machine of 80s Los Angeles sports, Paul Westhead will join us at the top of our second hour. He's got a new book out, Paul Westhead, My Fast Times in Basketball. And we figured, hey, he's slinging a book. Paul Westhead was available. Let's get a chat with him. Guy who won the 1980 NBA championship with rookie Magic Johnson here in Los Angeles.
Playing all 5 positions.
A couple years later, unfortunately for Coach Westhead, Jerry Buss and Magic got together and decided to elevate an assistant that Westhead hired named Pat Riley. And we all know the rest is then history. Paul Westhead also... was an architect of a very miserable March day for me when the defending national champion Michigan Wolverines in 1990 lost to Loyola Marymount.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
As they were on an absolute tear and rampage trying to win one for Hank Gathers. So there's really a lot to talk about in terms of the history of basketball with Paul Westhead. Alfonso Ribeiro will join us as well on this program. The delightful Alfonso Ribeiro is another new season of America's Funniest Home Videos is out again. And this is great for my kids, the final hour of this program, because my kids cannot get enough of Alfonso Ribeiro on Game Show Network hosting Catch 21.
Oh, yeah.
Can't get enough of that. And then the spoiler alert, latest Masked Singer Unmasked.
Oh.
Mark Sanchez.
Did this cost you any money?
Not a dime.
Okay.
Not a penny. Not a single red cent. So there's Mark Sanchez joining us in the third hour of the program. First up's going to be Marshall.
Sweet.
Marshall Faulk will join us coming up in about 5 minutes' time, and I'm wondering what he thinks of Le'Veon's decisions in front of him. Mm. What would he choose? What did he think of Derrick Henry stealing the soul of Josh Norman? I wonder what's the best stiff arm Marshall's ever delivered to someone. Right?
I don't think of Marshall as a power guy like Derrick Henry, of course, but
I'm sure Marshall has delivered a pop or two in his day. I'm also curious as to what he thinks of the Cowboys moving forward.
Why?
What a great, why not, man? Why not? Week five, and obviously, just a couple other pieces of news I want to hit right here off the top with COVID-19. So the Cincinnati Bearcats have postponed their game against Tulsa. Yesterday, we know that the Florida Gators had to push their game coming up this weekend against LSU. Nick Saban announced that he and the athletic director of Alabama in the week where Alabama's taking on Georgia, he has tested positive for COVID-19. The Atlanta Falcons are now in the intense level of protocol as reportedly four more positive tests on the heels of a single positive test that got the Carolina Panthers into their intense protocol to try and make sure anything that they might have picked up crossing vectors with the Falcons over the weekend does not expand. So we're keeping an eye on all of that as the Falcons play the Vikings this weekend. It is possible that those two teams, that they have a bye week on the same week, that they could reconfigure the schedule and make it somewhat simple. But the NFL is running out of real estate. And, you know, I don't know if this might be a candidate to create a week 18. I don't know if they would want to use this game to do something like that. Because week 18 games, I don't think, are going to be created by 0-5 versus 1-4, to be bluntly honest. That 0-5 versus 1-4 in a week 18 game right now sitting here in prior to week 6 sure sounds like two teams that are only going to play 15 regular season games this year. Because why in the world would you take two teams that are out of the playoffs in week 18 and have them cross vectors for no apparent reason? So, and as we know, COVID-19 is the reason why we are not seeing football tonight, because the Bills and the Titans had to play on Tuesday night, and their next scheduled game, Buffalo's, was supposed to be tonight against Kansas City. And when that Tuesday night game hit, the next game against Kansas City would be put on Monday. And COVID-19 is another reason why many of us sat around last night saying, where's my Wednesday night football?
Sounds great. I mean, sign me up.
I'm in.
Where's my Wednesday night football?
Yeah. It's a weird year, man.
It is a weird year, no doubt about it. We just hope that everybody is healthy and safe. Nick Saban had something to say on that subject. That's going to be part of your news update in our second hour. Also, Dak Prescott has made a video for all of his fans. That's part of Chris Brockman's news update in the second hour. But we're going to take a break. And when we come back, a Woj bomb has apparently just gone off. And then Marshall Faulk will join us to talk some football with the Pro Football Hall of Famer. That's how we're rolling on this 5-Watt edition of the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock and more. Hey, folks. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. You can bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live, drawing, sharing, building ideas with everyone on the same page. And you can make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more all about the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Marshall Faulk about to join us. Our radio audience is about to join us back here in about 60 seconds time. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll have some time for your phone calls. And we already see some phone lines lit. We always greatly appreciate chit-chatting with those who are watching us on Peacock and listening to us on Sirius XM. Christopher, do you have a poll question idea over there? Do we need to workshop?
I have a couple. I mean, we can vote on them. It's the anniversary of Rudy's release today.
Oh, my God.
Best sports movie based on a true story. and also, it's the 20th anniversary of Curb's debut. Ooh. 20 years for Curb, and I was thinking best offshoot Curb character.
Curb 20 years, man.
Like Leon, Richard Lewis, Funkhauser, Ted Danson. Or we could go sports movie. Or I can come up with an NFL one.
Okay.
Keep workshopping?
Yeah. No. yeah. I don't know.
Hey, everybody. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and you get to see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Welcome back to our show here on Sirius XM, as well as Mightier 1090, part of our Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network. Chris, a couple of poll question ideas over there. It's the anniversary of Rudy.
Anniversary of Rudy's release.
And the way you worded your idea for your poll question is offensive to me.
It's true, though.
Based on a true story.
Yeah, right? Best sports movie based on a true story, because we know Rudy
and what
is
are they, and what are the,
basically
choices?
Factual
Rudy,
compared to Hoosiers.
Field of Dreams.
Rudy, Remember the Titans, Miracle Brian song, based on true stories. Or it's the 20th anniversary of Curb's premiere.
I cannot believe 20 years ago tonight, HBO put Larry David on television.
And it's never been the same.
And it's been 20 Curbs. Well, it's not 20 Curb seasons, but 20 years of Curbs. You know, Curb has taken a couple of hiatuses.
So I was thinking best Curb offshoot character, Leon, Richard Lewis, Funkhauser, Ted Danson.
I do like that one. Then you got the Garland laugh as part of our Hall of Laughs. That's true, too.
That's true. Two great laughs.
And then, I mean,
we can post both. Or, you know, we could do another Le'Veon Bell one.
And then, of course, for 5 years running, we sent J.B. Smoove on to Super Bowl media night as our correspondent.
Amazing.
So funny.
Number of times he had to workshop new jokes for the Patriots, so we lost track. I think we had three Patriots Super Bowls in the 5 years that he did it. Okay. I kind of like those. Those are pop culture ones. Let's do it.
Pop culture.
Throw them both out there. I don't care.
If something pops up, we'll throw it in.
So Marshall Faulk's going to be calling us shortly. He's got a lot on his mind, and I think he does have something interesting to say about the Dak Prescott injury. That's coming up in just a couple minutes' time. So Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that Daryl Morey and the Rockets have parted ways. According to Woj, Morey, after 13 years on the job with the longest consecutive playoff appearance streak in the league, the Rockets have 8 in a row of them. That's the longest such streak right now. That Morey and the Rockets are no longer working together. Well, I mean, that's not true. Morey's leaving the job. He approached owner Tillman Fertitta with the idea of leaving the job, and the sides quietly worked through an exit agreement to conclude his 13 seasons running the franchise's basketball operations. Morey saw an opportunity to spend time with two college-aged children who are each taking a gap year academically during the pandemic. And Morey isn't ruling out a future return to the NBA, but has become increasingly determined to explore what else might interest him professionally. As you know, he is and fans of this show know he's a favorite of ours.
Oh, he's
couldn't be
amazing.
More of an engaging person and personality, I think, and also is a spitter of truth, sometimes to his detriment. And I think he'd be pretty damn good on television, if you ask me. You know, somebody telling somebody what they think, or, hey, I've been there, I've done that, this contract, that contract, this is how it's going to work. I evaluate of talent. I think he's funny, he's engaging. So, Daryl Morey.
I read that as maybe NFL GM someday.
Well, you know, he's very numbers-oriented.
Yeah.
He's one of the forefront of the analytical
for sure.
Approach to the job.
And as we know, NFL kind of goes more and more in that direction.
You take a look that this team decided to say, screw it, let's go 6'8" and under and see how it flies. And so Rafael Stone, who has been part of the organization, is apparently going to take over. And we all know that Daryl sent out that that tweet last summer supporting Hong Kong and its rights to free speech that caused a major uproar between China, the government of China, and the NBA. And Tillman Fertitta, to his credit, the owner of the Rockets, stood behind him, even though the Chinese government essentially expunged the Rockets from the face of that earth in terms of covering the NBA. And the Rockets were one of the most popular teams in China because of Yao Ming's tenure with the team. So, I mean, you could see how, you know, when the, remember when the Lakers were there and you they just erased the Rockets logo from some of the uniforms, and then the
really weird.
Chinese government erased the NBA in many ways. So we send our best to Darryl. I'll text him. Say, I hope you're well.
Friend of the program.
Friend of the program, just like Marshall Falk, who's going to call at 844-204-RICH. In the meantime, let's take some phone calls. Jeff in Detroit, you're here on the program. What's up, Jeff? How are you, Jeffrey?
Hey, what's going on? How's everything?
We're doing fine. What's on your mind?
Hey, listen, I had a question for you. If you were Jerry Jones and this particular situation happened, you end up riding a red rifle to the NFC Championship game. You end up losing on a bogus call. So that means it's not necessarily your fault. How does that bode for Dak Prescott the following year?
You know what? I think at this point in time, the Cowboys are just going to take it one at a time, Jeff, to be very, very honest with you. I think Dak Prescott is still the future of this league for the Dallas Cowboys and future of the league, too, that if he comes back healthy and Dallas decides to, for some reason, stick with an Andy Dalton that goes on a magical run if they're so lucky – I would proffer to say that Dak Prescott will have a job in 3 seconds somewhere else. The proverbial Rob Ryan 5 minutes on the street. This will actually be less than 5 minutes. You know, I would even say that your organization would maybe go in that direction. I mean, I think, you know, and again, I think you're seeing so many different aspects. You're seeing so many teams just completely reimagine what's going on with them. From Houston to Atlanta in just the last couple of weeks. And, you know, the Detroit Lions are coming off of their bye. And we'll see what happens over the next several weeks with your Detroit Lions, you know, at Jacksonville, at Atlanta, home for Indianapolis, at Minnesota. I mean, and then home for Washington. Basically, I'm just looking at those five games for the Detroit Lions. That's one win. That's no wins. That's Indianapolis, who's obviously got a season in front of them that they have aspirations and Super Bowl aspirations, and then one win with Minnesota and one win with Washington. So hopefully they'll come away with more than just one win, and if not, then I think everything's going to get reimagined there from quarterback to everybody else, honestly.
Just do me a favor, save the couch for me, because I know I'm going to be delay on it.
I hear you, Jeff. You got it. You be well, sir. There you have it. Thank you for the call right there. I'm serious, man. I'm wondering if you're seeing all of these quarterbacks, these run throw quarterbacks, these kids coming out of college. Justin Herbert stepping into the role, Joe Burrow stepping into the role. We're imagining Tua's not going to struggle very, very much. Josh Allen, 3 years in, is a
MVP
an candidate. MVP candidate, yeah. And Pat Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes, I should say. I mean, I could keep naming all of these kids that come off of campuses that are dynamic, that do garner the attention, that do go ahead and put fannies in the seats when there are fannies to be put in the seats, and are also under contractual control for 5 years at a rate for an entire contract that somebody like Matthew Stafford or Matt Ryan would garner in one single year of a contract. And you're seeing Mahomes win it all in the first iteration of his contract. You're seeing Jared Goff go to a Super Bowl in the first iteration of his contract. You see Carson Wentz, before he started getting hurt and potentially regressing, putting together a one seed. Well, Russell Wilson did it as well.
Won one and went to another.
Correct. So you're seeing all of that. And if you're wondering, okay, what an NFL owner thinks when you're Arthur Blank and your team's 0-5 and Matt Ryan is making all that money and you're wondering what gives there. And I see Trevor Lawrence just north of us from the state of Georgia. And you're also somebody like the Dallas Cowboys. Honestly, you know, you've already got someone in Dak who's hurt, and if Jerry Jones, who has said that he's the future, And a lot of people are like, well, if he was, then, you know, how come you couldn't sign him or get him signed or give him what he wanted to be signed? Whatever. So on and so forth. That you put it all together, put all the pieces together, and somebody like Matthew Stafford, despite 10, 11 years in the business and being a face-forward part of that franchise, might not be part of whatever they reimagine. If you bounce the general manager, or you don't, you bounce the coach. Honestly, I think this is all completely wide open right now in the NFL based on what you're seeing. But Dallas is not going to move anywhere, even if Andy Dalton goes on some sort of magic carpet ride run.
You don't think?
No.
What if Andy runs the table?
I'm not going to go in the direction of eating a hat, but this is why he's there.
It's not impossible.
No, this is why he's there. You know, this very moment is why he's there. The Dallas Cowboys looking at other situations where an entire season is totally destroyed because the backup is not ready for prime time, or the backup is a kid, or the backup is a career backup. This is why you signed Andy Dalton. And I'll be honest, maybe part of that reason why the Cowboys did that is they saw what Nick Foles did for the Philadelphia Eagles for all these years. They looked in division. What did they do? And this is why I thought the Patriots should have gone and gotten Andy Dalton. This is why I thought the Jaguars should have gotten Andy Dalton. Certainly since their offensive coordinator is the guy who coordinated the offense in Cincinnati for some of Andy's greatest years, but they obviously have different plans.
Yeah, Andy Dalton's on a great contract, $1 million base salary, $2 million signing bonus, and has all kinds of incentives. An extra $1 million for 50% of the snaps, which it looks like he's going to get, and a playoff berth, $500,000 for a first-round win, another $500,000 for a second-round win, $750,000 if he wins the NFC Championship. And if they win the Super Bowl, TJ, a cool $1.25 million. Oh, a lot of incentives for Andy Dalton, but look, he's going to get the opportunity. And we've seen what Andy Dalton can do in this league. He's been to the playoffs four times. He's thrown for 4,000 yards in a single season. Great college career. Fantastic head of hair. Like, this guy can do it.
You know, at this point last year, if this had happened, our quarterback is Cooper Rush. So
exactly.
We're very excited to have Andy Dalton.
Your season would be over.
Essentially, I mean, no offense. With all due respect to Cooper Rush, you know, but you're right. Yeah.
Honestly,
now
your
season
would be over. Season, the Cowboys season, we would be talking about if Dak doesn't come back, do you go for Trevor Lawrence there?
I think that's legitimately the conversation is like, is Trevor Lawrence going to end up in Dallas?
And now you're still the betting favorite. The line did not move on who wins the NFC East. It's still the Dallas Cowboys.
Season is not over.
Thank you, Coach Moore.
A good backup, man. There's just so essential. So essential.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. All right, let's take a break right here. We'll come back, and you know, Marshall will hopefully join us. If he doesn't, we'll get him on another day. Paul Westert, Oral Hershiser, Alfonso Ribeiro, and Mark Sanchez still to come right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
Hey, folks, now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. You can bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room, collaborate live, drawing, sharing, building ideas with everyone on the same page. And you can make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more all about the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Every single day, we're right after the Dan Patrick Show, leading into Brother from Another. Pro Football Talk and Pro Football PFTPM wraps up the entire day on NBC Sports on Peacock. And then I will be joining you every day, every Sunday, once again, NFL Game Day morning. The gang's back together, all of us in studio once again. That was a fun week last week when we got to see everybody together on NFL Network, getting you ready for a week six that has got a dynamite piece of filet mignon sitting there with Tom Brady welcoming in Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers coming off of a bye, the Buccaneers coming off of the loss to Nick Foles and the Bears. We're assuming Chris Godwin's going to be back for that one.
Did practice today.
He did not, or he did?
No, he did.
He did.
He's back.
Okay. Well, that's good news for him, and everybody else has been waiting for him in a fantasy ownership.
Right.
So, hey, everybody. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and you get to see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams. We're back here now on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, rejoining our friends at Peacock. And my buddy from he's known as the man who created coined the phrase football heaven, and is a first ballot Pro Football Hall of Famer. But in my household, he's known as Uncle Marshall. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, a longtime friend of the program. 2-8, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How's it going? How you doing?
Well, I'm better for talking to you. Just to bring you up to speed, I had Chase Claypool on the other day. I tried to nickname him the Chase Churl, but he's not taking that one.
Marshall, can you honestly just tell Rich to give it up with this?
Yeah. You gotta let that one go, Rich.
No,
that one's not good.
No,
well, you gotta let that one go.
So you're saying the
Claypool? Like that's a. You don't need to nickname anybody that has that as a name, Claypool.
He's 6'4". He's 6'4". He's from Canada. Apparently, the real nickname he's going by is Mapletron instead of Megatron. Mapletron is what he's going with right now, Marshall.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's why I tried to, kick it up a notch. That sounds like the Matty Ice of situations.
He got five games in and he get a nickname. What's this league turning into?
Well, Marshall, apparently he's already trademarked it and he brought it with him from Notre Dame. How about that?
But that's saying a lot.
It sure is. all right, let's get into the news of the day with you. What's going through Le'Veon Bell's mind today, do you think?
Listen, he literally gets to go be on the winner. That's what he's saying. You normally don't get this. So he got his money, and now he got his freedom, and he can go play for a winner. Think about it. And he has his health, which is probably the most. That's like took last year off. Was it last year? Oh no, the year he took off before he left the Steelers. And then last year, he didn't play a lot. And then, what? No preseason. I mean, he's a spring chicken as far as running backs go.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't want to go down the Jets wormhole here. But now that he is free and his options, according to Adam Schefter, are the Dolphins, Bills, and Chiefs, which one would you choose, Marshall?
Let's see, Dolphins, Bills, and Chiefs. If I'm him, I'm never, ever playing with a suspect quarterback again. So I'm going with the Chiefs.
There's
no question about the quarterback play. I want to play. Here's the thing. People don't understand how hard it is to be a productive running back when your quarterback is not respected in the league. But when your quarterback is respected and they have to decide, do we keep an extra safety back or not, then you have running holes. You have running room. But when he's not, oh, my God, they have a safety in the box, and the deep safety is like 12 yards back because they don't respect your quarterback.
So, obviously, if you're looking at quarterbacks just straight up, it's why wouldn't you choose the Chiefs and Mahomes, especially on top? You love Bieniemy, too. I know that. And, and Eric is a former running back himself, and he's dialing up all sorts of evil. And personally, I've got my eye on him to hook up with Trevor Lawrence and Green in New York City in 2021, but that's for another day. I understand that. Let me flip it on its head, which I know you enjoy having that thrown in your direction. Are you saying that Josh Allen is not to be respected, or he's not yet respected? What are you saying about that?
I'm saying that in the grand scheme of things, if a defensive coordinator had to decide who was going to beat them, the running game or Josh Allen, they're stopping the running game, and they're going to make Josh Allen make the tough throws. That's what I'm saying.
And what about the concept that Edwards-Helaire is sitting there and they drafted him first overall? Why do you think the Chiefs would be interested in Bell and what he would have to suss out there before he jumped on board Marshall Faulk?
Well, it's not what Clyde can and cannot do. It's like, hold on, wait, think about this. You have Tariq Hill, you have Watkins. I mean, how many weapons? You can't have enough weapons. If you can get him on the cheap, why not?
Do you think this means something that the Chiefs have seen in Edwards-Helaire and that he's not yet ready to be the bell cow for this team? And
no.
What do you think it is
not
there?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Not at all. What this means is you have an opportunity to add a Le'Veon Bell to the arsenal of what you have in an offense. That's it. It has nothing to do. The question is, chemistry-wise, is their leadership within the locker room enough that Lev Bell is going to toe the line? Can he toe the party line? That's what it's all about.
What do you think?
But when you look at it, if Lev Bell wants to play next year, if he goes to the Chiefs with that high-powered offense and all the things that people have to worry about, he's just another pawn on the chessboard that Andy and Eric get to move around and play with. He doesn't have to worry about being the bell cow. He gets to share the backfield with a young guy. And then next year, after being productive, it's like, okay, now I'm a free agent. I showed you guys I can still play. Because he will be going from one extreme with the Jets, where you have no help, to the extreme to another extreme with the Chiefs, where you have more help than you could ever ask for.
From no help,
I mean, there's more speed at receiver,
right.
Tight end. They have everything you could ever want.
So then, why? What are the choices then? I guess one's got no state taxes, and he's probably got a spot in South Beach, and the other one is the Bills. They went knocking on his door. Maybe they were the first ones out of the gate. I mean, then we should expect to see him in Kansas City by the end of the day. Apparently, he's already followed Patrick Mahomes on Twitter. That was noticed last night, Marshall.
If here's what I'm going to say. After leaving Pittsburgh and playing with Roethlisberger, he got a chance to see what it's like to be in the backfield and look at your quarterback and have your quarterback look at you and not no more. It's like, you okay? Oh, okay, we're in trouble. It's a tough one, Rich. It's a tough one.
Oh, my God. You never had that, did you? You never had that, right? Did you ever have that?
Hey, man. Been around a long time, Rich. Been around a long time.
Raised a lot of guys,
man. Raised a lot of guys.
No, okay.
I've been in that backfield with a lot of guys. It's been their first time. It has not been their first time, but for the most part, what you do is, you know, every some people can handle that position when you're there, and you work with guys that's young or guys that you know they need confirmation that what they see is what they see, and some people can't. You know, I was able to do that. I had to acclimate to do that.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's get into it on this subject, Marshall. You and I were texting over the weekend, just a couple of hours after Dak had that awful season-ending injury requiring surgery and a 4 to 6 month rehab. I give you the floor on how you think this injury will play out throughout the league with players watching from afar.
Yeah, I can't imagine that players will be playing on that tender now. It's like, what do you do? And this is it, Rich. This is like it. And we all believe that Dak is coming back. That's the idea. He'll be back. But if this was it, like, let's just say this was it and he didn't play another down. My question is, what would Jerry hire him to do? Like, what would he then be? Like, what role would he have with the Cowboys? Or would it just be SOL? Like, what would it be? Like, what Cowboy fan who have one of those $100,000 boxes up there that was upset because he was holding out, waiting to get money and didn't want to play? What deals would they put him in so he can continue to make money? Like, what would they do? How would they look out for his family? That's all I want to know. Because they see it, it's a sport and a game to them, but for us, you know, he got a family to take care of.
So what role do you think it would play in terms of players accepting maybe a little bit less than for a long-term contract? Part of the reason why...
Well, I think the league, they got to get rid of that. Like, I just don't like what you can do with that.
The franchise tender is what you're saying.
Yeah, and playing on it. Like, playing on it. What you're exposing to not play what it means, and then when you go and play, what you're risking. That's a lot.
Have you connected with Zeke since the injury to Dak? Have you talked to him?
No, you have not. Okay. No, but I'm going to tell you one thing,
and
I don't know if you guys saw it. I don't know if you guys watched the game. The minute that happened, all of a sudden that offensive line that wasn't blocking as good dialed it up a notch. The defense that was giving up a lot dialed it up a notch. Isn't that weird?
To what you owe that?
And let me defend Tony Dungy. When he said a blessing in disguise, my take of it was that people are going to step up that should have stepped up. Sometimes people don't see. It's like you need to. They were relying on Dak to just bring them back and do stuff. You know, the birth of people sometimes come out of the absence of people.
Well, I know
we would have never known what we would have never known what Kurt Warner could be had Trent Green got hurt.
And I know you believe that not just because of that, because you said on this show, I think, previewing what you said on game day morning later in the week, or could be vice versa, when Calvin Johnson suddenly retired on the Lions, you said Matthew Stafford's going to be better, that the offense will be better. And maybe in the similar way that we're seeing Carolina, Richard Sherman said on his podcast with Chris Collinsworth that McCaffrey being out makes Carolina less predictable. So
it does.
You know, I guess
it literally does, Rich. It does. It, when you take that focus away, I'm telling you, who else? Drew Brees and the Saints not having Michael Thomas out there, the relationships. I mean, people don't understand how many balls this dude caught last year. That is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But it makes the team better when you take away your best player and now you have to go out and find ways to win. Man, you become a stronger team.
Marshall Faulk here on the Rich Eisen Show, and that has been part of the conversation as well, that Brady having a 5-touchdown performance with a hobbled Evans and no Godwin and O.J. Howard being carted off, that it'll come down the road to be better off for the team. You're seeing how, without Davante Adams, how Rodgers is performing. But at some point, though, you do have to put it together to make that Super Bowl run. Do you think the Cowboys can do that with Andy Dalton without Dak, now that you're seeing how maybe the absence makes the heart grow bigger and your game have to be more focused, I guess, on that subject?
I think that wide receiver core, the receiving core for the Cowboys, they have to expand their catch radius. Cedric Wilson, man, oh my God. Like, I understand people talk about the other guy, but how he has stepped up and stepped into what he is doing for the Cowboys, I just love what he's bringing to the table. But I think collectively as a group, their catch radius has to get wider. Their run after the catch has to get better, because Andy Dalton is a facilitator. He can do certain things. He's not a bring you from behind, win the ball game type guy. But he can help you win games. We've seen that. It was his problem was when you get that $100 million, and we talked about this, Rich, when you get that big contract, mm-hmm. and now the components aren't around you that once was, that got you that money, can you win with less? He's not that guy. But he can win with the guys that they have because they have a really good nucleus of receivers and backs. That offensive line that used to be the best in the league is hobbled. I mean, but I'm going to tell you, when Dak went down, it was a different offensive line.
I got about 2 minutes left here, Marshall. I know you're kind of my Sean Payton whisperer, with him being your, if I'm not mistaken, position coach, right? Back in the day at San Diego State, you've known him a very long time. The Saints are also your childhood team. And Breeze, you've known for a very long time. What did you make of what's going on with Michael Thomas and the suggestion that he could be, if we bring it all together, another version of Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown, and what's going on there? How would you interpret the Saints, the state of the Saints right now?
It's tough, man, because, you know, they're good at keeping things in-house, and Sean handles it, you know. He's really good at that. And I'm not saying other teams don't. Just my personal dealings with him and just the conversation, you know, he's a problem solver. He doesn't exacerbate problems. He normally, he's going to sit down, and it's like, how do we move this forward and get through this and move past this? And that's what they do. If you look at any and everything issues they've ever had, that's what they've always done, always.
So you're thinking this is going to turn out okay? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I believe.
Okay,
I believe it's going to turn out okay.
And do you think that the struggles on offense is because of Thomas's absence, or where do you land on the Drew Brees arm strength, I guess, conversation that's been dominating for about a month right now?
I mean, I'm assuming when I got older, I got slower. So, I mean, I lost some speed. So you will not, if all the time is undefeated. So he can say what he wants. I mean, his arm is not the arm it once was. The question is, can they win with his arm the way it is? It's not about, you know what I'm saying? We said the same thing about Peyton Manning his last year.
Right.
And that's all he did was he won a Super Bowl with that arm.
Okay. Did you ever stiff arm?
Let's be real. Like,
yeah.
Quarterbacks are not exempt.
Did you ever stiff arm somebody like Derrick Henry, Marshall?
No. Oh, my God. No. No.
Never once?
No.
Never once?
Not ever.
You never threw anybody out of the football club? You never did that?
Not like that, Rich. I mean, that was like, I mean, he catapulted him. And of all guys, how do you get a talker? Like a guy who just barks all game.
Well, he if you remember last year, Earl Thomas last year said bring him on in the playoffs, and he found Earl, and he gave him an extra shove in the back when he didn't even need to. If you remember that one.
Man, yeah, that was, seriously, that's like, you don't do grown men like that. That's like, I was like, that's somebody's father. You don't do him like that. That was embarrassing.
All right, Marshall, it's great catching up with you. You take care of yourself. Love you, man. Let's do this again.
Likewise, more often. Man. Have a good one.
Right back at you. That's Marshall Faulk. He's never thrown anybody out of the football club like that. So everything's going to be all right with the Saints with Michael Thomas, but Drew's arm is a different story. We'll see. Can they win with an arm as it is like that? With Michael Thomas, I think they can.
I think you're right.
I think with Michael Thomas, he can.
They need him out there. 13's got to be on the field.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be an interesting bye week. We'll take a break right here. When we come back on our friends on SiriusXM, as well as our terrestrial radio network, Paul Westhead and your phone calls at 844-204-RICH.